Grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right. About 2.5 weeks ago, as you know, my dad went home, departed this world to God, and went home to our Father above through Christ. And wow, that was a difficult time, and his passing is still very fresh on my mind every day, and I'm thinking about death and the passing from this world, our departure up to God and the world to come. So I thought this would be a great week, since I know all of us are going to have to face death one day, and we have relatives, loved ones who've gone home and departed or who are going to depart, to take a look with you today at some further questions about death and the afterlife and answer them by God's word, the scripture, so that we can be clearer about this thing that we're all going to have to face one day, death, and what comes, what's going to happen to us when we depart this world. What's that process like and what will happen? So that's a great word, good word that God has for us about all these things. And all the good words are found in Jesus Christ alone. He is our Savior. So let's run through these today. First of all, are we all going to have to face this one day? You know, unless Christ returns in our lifetime, in which case we go straight to meet him in the clouds and inherit the kingdom, you know, we're all going to have to die. Think about that. Have you faced that lately? The reality of our death, our departure. You know, we read over there in Psalm 49, truly, no man can ransom himself or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of his life is costly and can never suffice that he should continue to live on forever and never see the pit, namely, to die. Everybody is going to perish physically, depart this world not alive, at least in your body. And so how soon is that going to happen to you? Think you're going to actually have to face this one day. You are going to have to personally go through this, as am I. How soon is that going to happen? Well, James says in James chapter 5, we are all like a mist that appears just for a little time and then vanishes. And Moses says our days are maybe 70 years or 80 years by reason of strength, but they're soon gone and we all fly away. So we're all going to have to face this. Are you ready to face death? And what will that be like? What's it like when our loved ones do? You know, facing death, can that be scary? Are you scared of death? You know, God's put into every one of us a desire to live. That's why we don't run out in front of a truck. We want to be alive. We want to live. We have a desire for living because he's the God of life. He puts that into us, even into the creatures. They don't want to die either. It can be scary. Remember what it says in the Bible, that Romans 6, verse 23, the first part, says the wages of sin is death. It is the punishment for sin. It's the judgment of God, his wrath upon sin, which is still in our flesh, by the way. Although our spirits are saved, our bodies will be raised, but, you know, our bodies have to die. That's a tough thing. That's a terrible thing. It's a fearsome thing. Hebrews 2, we learn that Jesus has saved us from the fear of death, so we should not and don't have to be afraid of death. But I think all of us, to some degree or another, still fear death. And what's that going to be like? Is it going to be painful? What's that experience going to be like? Now, Shakespeare called death that undiscovered country from whose born no traveler e'er returns. In other words, he says we'd rather bear whatever ills we can have here because we see them rather than fly to the ones we know not of. What's awaiting us after? Are we going to perish? Will we die? Will we be judged? Will we cease to exist? What's going to happen? Is it blackness? What's out there? The fear of it keeps us wanting to stay here, says Shakespeare. So what's the dying process like? Well, we're already experiencing it, aren't we? You're getting older. That's part of the dying process. I chose this picture, and you see the older hands here, the wrinkled hands. I remember my dad was always troubled by his getting older. I remember we went to an eye doctor once, and we were sitting in the waiting room, and he's like, look at my skin. It's just like wrinkly. It's like, ah. I said, come on, Dad. That's just the way you're holding your hand. Turn it this way. It'll be better. He did, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's worse. And we laughed. I can laugh about it, but it's tough, this whole aging process. Your eyes don't work, your ears don't work. You don't think as clearly, you start to fall. You need someone to change your diapers and all these things as you're getting older. And then the actual dying process, that can be really tough, painful. It can be very hard to die and have your body shut down. So what is it like? Well, how is it going to be for you? Wouldn't it be great if we all look like this as we're running through? You know, the Christian life is a race. And what's our last lap like? We finish the lap through the stadium. The crowds are cheering. We feel great vigor, great energy. We have a smile on our face and we sprint across the finish line. Hooray, victory. Wouldn't you love it to be like that? Now, there are Christians who finish their course in faith that way, and may it be so for all of you and for me. But you know what? Dying, even as a Christian, a lot of times looks a little more like this one. Yeah. Yeah. Pain, agony. Oh, this is hurting because it's hurting my body. Oh, my goodness. Agony. Or it could even look like this. You know, I think my dad at times was feeling like this. He's even in that last week, while it took him 5.5 days between not eating and drinking to actually departing this world. And, you know, the rest of him was healthy. His heart was not healthy. Everything else was healthy. So it took a long time for everything else to shut down while his heart was giving out. And that was actually tough to see him. He was actually seemingly in great discomfort, trouble at times, other times peaceful. Sometimes it looks like this. What's the good word for you? Jesus understands. He's been through the worst death anybody's ever experienced. He had all the weight of our sin, of the sins placed upon him. His death was more excruciating, therefore, than anybody else's. When you go through it or I go through it, Jesus says, I understand. I have been there. I have shared in this pain. I'm with you in the middle of that. So Jesus understands. He endured the cross and died, actually. To what then could we liken death? Well, I would say maybe a great sea like this, or in Pilgrim's Progress, which is one of the books we love, I do anyway, Christian is doing his Christian journey, and the last obstacle was likened to a great river, a terrifying river. The last obstacle Christian had to pass through before he got to the celestial city, God's home on high. And the last obstacle really is like a great river. Remember when Joshua in the Old Testament was leading the people, you know, Moses led them out of Egypt and Joshua was leading them through the wilderness and the last part. The final obstacle before getting to the promised land, that country across the sea, a great river, the Jordan River. They had to cross the Jordan or they couldn't get to the promised land. We can't get to the promised land of heaven and the world to come unless we cross the Jordan River, the sea of death as well. So that's what is that going to be like, though? Well, one day we're going to all have to enter the waters. You know, I think it'd like to be way off in the future, but could come sooner than we think. And I watched my dad recently set out across that river. He was afraid of death, actually, for many years, though he was a Christian. And I would always try to comfort him. I needed to comfort myself as well. But the time came, and I actually saw it, when he had to enter into those waters. And sometimes when we enter into death, it can seem like we've lost sight almost of that country, that undiscovered country across, the country of the kingdom. And the storms kind of roll in and the waves, and we finally have to plunge into that sea. We're all going to have to do it. And it could hit you really cold and shock you because it is a cold sea. Death is difficult. And I saw my dad go into that. And that was kind of tough because he'd always been afraid of it. And finally, he had to plunge in and start swimming. And you know, when the cold hits you and you dive into a cold ocean, well, it could be like that. But then he began to swim, and we will all start to swim because you've got to cross that river. Nobody's gotten across that river without swimming except for who? Enoch, right? And Elijah. They got a boat. In other words, they were taken straight up to God. Everybody else, even Jesus, you got to swim. You got to get into that river, that death. We're all going to die. And you start to enter into it, and there are times when it's kind of okay. It's peaceful. And some people just die in their sleep, and wouldn't that be great? Just wake up in Jesus' arms, go to sleep peacefully, and wake up. Wouldn't that be great? I hope that all happens to us, but my dad got in and he starts swimming and it was 5.5 days swim across this river. Whew, that was tough. And it was tough for me to see him. In fact, as you swim, sometimes it's peaceful. Sometimes it can be kind of rough. You know, at times I would see my dad peaceful. At other times, He was, you could see, greatly troubled and distressed at times in the sea. And it can be difficult to get across. It can be very terrifying. And Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, when he came to that great river and he looked at that river, he asked the angel standing at the side, he says, "I'm terrified," he said, of this river. He says, "Will I perish in the sea? What is that river like?" And the angel said to him, "It will be either deep or shallow, depending upon your faith." In other words, if your faith is deep in God, the river will seem shallow to you. But if your faith is shallow, the river will seem deep. Well, Christian stepped in and he plunged into those waters. He began to swim across at the end of the Pilgrim's Progress on the way to the Celestial City. And his friend Hopeful swam across very nicely because he was hopeful. But Christian's faith started to fail. He started to wonder, "Oh my goodness, my sins, they'll sink me deeper than Sheol. I will go down to the fathomless depths. I will perish in this sea. I'll never come out alive." You know, we can feel that way sometimes too, can't we? Even we Christians who know the Lord, sometimes we're like, "Oh, but my sins, will they sink me deeper than the bottom of the sea if I go in there with my sins? Oh no, I have a Savior, but my sins," and we're reminded and they haunt us. Well, Christian, when he remembered those things, felt like he began to sink. Hopeful comes along inside and says, "No, Christian, I can see Jesus on the other side. There's good ground here for you, and it's not far. You don't have far to go." When I was with my dad several nights, I kept bringing this to him. I felt like I was hopeful, swimming alongside my dad. And I was like, "Dad, you know what? It's really great. It's a tough sea, and I'm going to swim part of it with you. I can't go the whole way across, but I'll go part of the way with you. And I can see Jesus on the other shore. His hands are open. He's smiling towards you. It's not far to go. You're almost there, Dad. It's going to be great." But Christian, when he was listening to a hopeful share these things, he said, "Well, yes, but you've always been hopeful since I knew you. Your name is Hopeful. Of course you're hopeful. For me, I'm going to sink in these seas." And my dad sometimes felt that way too. There was a time, actually, several days in, maybe a day or so before he died, 2 days, when he hadn't said a word for days. And finally, he woke up to say his first words. He stirred because we were in the other room having dinner for a few minutes. And we heard a stir. We rushed in, and he actually said these words. He says, "Help me, help me." He says, "I'm your father, help me." Because he felt his body shutting down. Yeesh! Can you imagine me hearing that? That was tough. And we ran in and comforted him. And Christian felt like he was sinking in Pilgrim's Progress. What was the comfort? How did all that change for Christian? And what does God do for us? What did Jesus do for my dad? And will do for you? Christian remembered God's promises. And I got to share them. My sisters did. We brought the good word to him. And I think of this word from Isaiah 43. God says, "Fear not while we're in the sea swimming. Fear not, for I'm with you. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." Can you believe and picture God saying that to you when you're crossing the river one day, as you will? And he says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And so when you're crossing the river and you feel these things and you hear the word of the Lord, all of a sudden there's going to be a comfort come over you. And a peace come over you, as it came over my dad. As I shared these good words, like, "The wages of sin is death, Dad, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God doesn't desire anyone to perish, but that all should reach eternal life and be saved. By grace you've been saved, Dad, through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should perish. If you confess with the lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For God so loved the world, God so loved you, Dad, that he gave his only begotten Son, that you, believing on him, should not and will not perish, but have eternal life." You know, when you hear those promises, the word of the Lord to you, which you know, and God will speak it to you and maybe give you a loved one to say it, what happens? At that moment, you will see someone come to you to rescue and help you. And it's Jesus. He's been with you the whole time. There's a picture of Jesus reaching down through the waters as if you're sinking. Remember, Peter also felt, oh no, the waves, the sea, I perish. Lord, save me. As he starts to go under, what happens? Jesus reaches out, grabs him and pulls him up and makes him walk on the water. You know what? I'll tell you, he did that for my dad. I saw the peace come over him. And he does that and will do that for you. Jesus didn't come here for you to die. He came to save you and get you to God. Bring you to God. The righteous died for the unrighteous that he might bring you to God. He's not going to lose you in those waters, friends. He'll be faithful. He'll see you through. Why? Because Jesus' name in Revelation chapter 19 is faithful and true. That's his name. You can't deny that. He's the King of Kings. He'll be faithful to you. He'll be true to lift you up and, like with Peter, raise you up to walk on the sea with him. You know, the very last hour of my dad's life, actually, he'd been breathing very peacefully the last day, sleeping peacefully, finally calm, quiet, and then he had this breathing like, for hours. I went in by myself at one time, and I just started singing to him some songs. Amazing grace, and praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. My dad's favorite hymn, do you know that one? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, etc. And actually his breathing, kind of, he held his breath. I got right to his ear, as quietly as I could. And he stopped almost breathing to listen. I almost felt like his whole soul was going like this. And I said, Dad, let's thank God. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, God, that you saved Dad. Thank you that Dad's sins are forgiven. Thank you that you're with him. He's not alone. Thank you he's almost across the river. Thank you that you have a bright future for him. Thank you that he's almost across the sea. Thank you that very soon he's going to be free from all these troubles. Thank you that very soon he'll get to see your face. And we did these things, and he quieted down even more. And I sang to him very peacefully and quietly as I could. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And just this peace settled over him. About an hour later, surrounded by his family, in love, he breathed his last, and I got to see it. I got to be there with my dad as he departed. He finished the river. And so, what is it like for us when we hear these things? And when you go through this river, what's it going to be like? When Christ comes and helps you, Christian then found that the water was not so deep after all. He puts his feet down. He's like, look, I can stand. And he wades the rest of the way across the river. Can you picture that this is what it's going to look like for you? Father and son, you with the Father. Well, let's just wade the rest of the way across, son. This is easy. Or Jesus the Redeemer with you the redeemed. Come on, we're almost there. And what's going to happen then? You're going to say, I've come out of the shore alive. For Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. We're going to say to the Lord, God, I'm alive on the other side. Like my dad said, in victory, crossing the finish line. And what's Jesus going to say? Well, I told you you would. Don't be troubled. My Father's house has so many rooms. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And when I do that, I'm going to come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So that's the word of God who created you to you. Through his Redeemer, I'll take you to myself. Welcome home, Don, he said to my dad, and he'll say, welcome home to you. Doug, Jeff, Cindy, Vivian, Greg, welcome home. What's it going to be like on that other side of the river? You know what? When we enter the sea of death on this side, it's very stormy sometimes, very cloudy. It's scary. But on the other side, on the other shore, it looks like this. Very peaceful, sunshiny, calm shores. You're going to love it. A golden shore where you walk with Christ. What will happen then, though? I've wondered this, like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die and my body's going to be gone and I'm just going to be in my spirit. How do I get to heaven from there? What am I going to do? I'm just going to be dead and what am I going to do? Have you ever felt like that? I've thought those things. because my body's dead. I've crossed the river. How do I get my spirit to heaven? I mean, come on. Like Thomas said, which way is it? I don't know the way. John 14. Which way is it? Is it this way, that way, another way? I don't know. How do I get to heaven? It's a long way up there. How do I get there? You know how you get there? You ever fear of this? So it's just me. Well, God says, don't worry about that one. The angels will carry you there. Where do we hear that in the scriptures? Remember Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 16? Lazarus, the poor man, died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So you're going to be carried by the angels. They are, well, what are the angels like? They'll be like your pilots. Welcome aboard. We will be your pilots today. Here's, you know, maybe Michael and Raphael. I don't know what their names are. But can't you just picture that? Welcome, Don. Glad you made it safely across. We're here to bear you up to the Father, up to the kingdom. Isn't that great? And here maybe Raphael saying with a thumbs up, hey, we got great weather today. It's going to be a great flight. It's always great weather. We're heading up. Welcome, Don. You're going to love this trip. What's that flight going to be like, though? You got to make sure that you're on the right airline. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one way. It's Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by Him, through faith in His name. All right, so be on the right airline, which you are. Don't go on any other ones. Be in Jesus Christ. And what's the flight going to be like on Angel Airlines? Can you read that? It says, it's a non-stop direct flight. You know, do you like layovers in Atlanta or whatever? No, you don't want to do that. And there are no layovers in purgatory. False teaching of that other church body that where you have to suffer for 10,000 years. No. It is a direct, non-stop flight. So the pilots, the angels say to you, just sit back at this point, relax, enjoy your flight. Smooth air is promised. And when Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress ascended up the mount after he'd crossed the sea, the river, all the way up to the city, he had very encouraging words and smiles from the angels, and he's greeted with great welcome. He heard the bells of the city ringing as he's entering in. It's just a beautiful flight. My dad took it. You and I are going to take it someday soon. To the celestial city, above the clouds. God's up high in the great city on high. What's that place going to look like? According to Scripture, this is from Revelation 21, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Can you picture it? No, this is a city, friends, that is made with God's hands, not human hands. God's a great builder. He's made the city for himself and for you, and for his son especially. The wall will be built of every jewel, have 12 gates, each of the gates made of a single pearl. Revelation 21, the wall is built of jasper, while the city is pure gold, clear as glass. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know exactly what it'll be like, but it'll be better than you can imagine. There is joy and freedom there in light. Why? We get to see God. We get to see the angels. We get to see each other, our loved ones in the faith. And guess what? All the troubles that you have now, all the evils, the difficulties of this life, they're free. You're free from them, for it is liberation. It's not the end, I told my dad. It is freedom that you're going to. Liberation for all the junk that we have in this life. Falls off, carried away, downstream. It doesn't survive the river. Aren't you looking forward to that one? Your body's getting old. Let's consider, what do we leave behind? Well, you leave a broken, weak body that was in pain behind. Praise God for that. You leave behind all your concerns. Oh no, America, we're not like we used to be. Well, don't worry about that one anymore. You get up there to heaven, your relationships are now perfect. My dad had depression for the last several years. I'm like, you're going to be free from that tomorrow. Isn't this awesome? And he is completely free of all that cloud of depression that hung over him and your mortal flesh, everything that pertains to it, your sin nature, where you still have faults. You're not yet perfectly in Christ's image. All that is carried away downstream. And what does it look like downstream? A big garbage dump, which God then puts over Niagara Falls. It's gone forever, never to be remembered again. Finished. And there in heaven, Hebrews 12, verse 23 says, you will see the spirits of just men made perfect. How are you going to get along with people in heaven if you didn't get along with certain Christians on earth? Well, up there, all the imperfections and troubles that we still have as Christians, gone. Up there, you're the spirits of just or justified men who are then made perfect. The born-again nature, who you really are in Jesus, that's what's up there in heaven, and amplified and made perfect. Therefore, we're all getting along up there perfectly, even if not all perfectly on earth. And is that all? No, wait, there's more. Door number one. God says, wait, I got something more. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 65, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things won't even come into mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For I create Jerusalem with rejoicing and her people a joy. What's God have for you in the worlds to come? John 21 in Revelation says, then I saw new heavens and a new earth. For the first heavens and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. Is there going to be a sea in heaven? Will there be a sea? I don't know. That verse only refers to the first sea not being around anymore. Will there be a second sea? We're all sailors here. Maybe. Because the whales and the dolphins are part of that creation, which is eagerly groaning for, yearning for, seeking the liberty of the children of God. And when we're liberated and raised from the dead, the creation itself will be set free as well, including the whales and the dolphins. They got to have somewhere to go. I imagine there's probably a sea. I don't know for sure. But will there be animals there too? Well, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, Isaiah 11. The leopard with the kid and the little child shall lead them. And it's going to be beautiful and peaceful there. For the earth, it says, they'll not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, Isaiah 11. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what we're heading to. That's why I could say to Dad, it's a bright future. You're heading to great things. This is exciting. Will there anything be there for us to do in heaven? Are we just going to sit on a cloud? Is that all we're going to do is twiddle our thumbs? That would be boring, right? It's not boring up there. Jesus comes, he says, I come to reward my saints. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Look, I set you over much. I give all this to you, and you're going to do these things. But it won't be work. It'll be play. For my dad, I don't know. I don't know how this works, okay? But just wondering, Dad loved to garden. He loved flowers. He loved to put his house even on the Florida or Cape Cod flower tour. Marion, you might enjoy this. He loves to garden. Well, God loves to garden. Might he perhaps give him fields of flowers and things to tend? My dad would think that would be the greatest thing ever. Enjoy that forever. God has play for his people. I don't know if this is what it is, but it'll be that and far better than you can imagine. God has great things for you to enjoy forever. That's the reality of what we're heading forward to. So what then is death to us? This is the conclusion. It's just a door, friends. It's the doorway. It's called, I like to call it, highway home. It's to a better and brighter and promised future for us in Jesus Christ, who has conquered death through his cross and called you in by grace to be saved and to be co-heirs with him of all things, the kingdom, eternally. And so, who is Jesus to us? He's Joshua of the Old Testament, but for the new. Joshua led them across through the wilderness, this world, you know. He led them across the Jordan River into the promised land. Jesus is right now leading you through the wilderness of this life. He will be with you when you cross the River Jordan, death, and he will lead you into the promised land, the world, the new world to come. And on the other side of this river, you're going to see Jesus, who's also with you here, and that in joy forever. Last slide, Jesus says, and I will be with you. Always. In this life, I'm with you. I'll be with you when you enter that sea. I'll bring you out on the other side. For I am the Lord your God, he says, when you pass through the rivers, waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen.